Let us bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, again we thank you that we can come to you. Lord, we pray that your Holy Spirit will move mighty amongst us. And Lord, help us to see what you have to say to us. And as we look at your word, that it will come alive to each one of us. In Jesus' name, amen. This gospel text for today is found in Mark chapter 1, verses 21 through 35. Let us stand at the reading of God's holy word. Mark chapter 1, beginning with verse 21. Then they went into Capernaum, and immediately on the Sabbath he entered the synagogue and taught. And they were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Now there was a man in their synagogue with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, "Let us alone. What have we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Did you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be quiet, and come out of him." And when the unclean spirit had convulsed him and cried out with a loud voice, he came out of him. Then they were all amazed, so that they questioned among themselves, saying, "What is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority he commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." And immediately his fame spread throughout all the region around Galilee. Now as soon as they had come out of the synagogue, they entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. But Simon's wife's mother lay sick with a fever, and they told him about her at once. So he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and immediately the fever left her, and she served them. At evening, when the sun had set, they brought to him all who were sick and those who were demon-possessed, and the whole city was gathered together at the door. Then he healed many of those who were sick with various diseases and cast out the many demons, and he did not allow the demons to speak because they knew him. Now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he went out and departed into a solitary place, and there he prayed. Heavenly Father, these were thy words. Sanctify us in the truth. Thy word is eternally true. Amen. You may be seated. Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never hunger, and he who believes in me will never thirst." And we see Jesus telling the woman at the well that if she would believe in him and if she knew who it was that was speaking to her, she would have asked him of a drink of water, and she would have had water flowing that she knew not of. And so she wanted this water, and she was looking at it as physical water and not spiritual water. We see here Jesus has chosen the 12 disciples, and now he has come with Peter and Andrew, and he has come into Capernaum, which is where he made his one of his headquarters when he was here on earth. And so the first thing he did, and if you'll notice, it says immediately on the Sabbath day, he went into the synagogue, or he went to church, and he went there to serve and to praise God. Now the custom was, of course, if a special speaker came, the one that was in charge of the service could ask that one to speak. And so they asked Jesus to speak. Now, we don't know everything he said or what he spoke necessarily, but we do know that there was a man there with an unclean spirit. And that man with that unclean spirit, he comes and he cries out, "I know who you are, Jesus of Nazareth. You are the Son of the living God." and I know who you are. Have you come to destroy us? And he is questioning Christ. And Christ cleanses him and casts the demon out of him and commands him not to speak. And do we many times see in our own life that we will do things and we will want to take and praise God, but maybe we don't know how all the time. And so instead of asking God to give us the means in which to praise him, we'll try and do it man's way. We see in this particular case where the evil demon knew who Christ was. And the reason for that is because he had been created by God. He had been part of the angelic host in heaven before Lucifer rebelled, and he had followed Lucifer. And when he followed Lucifer, of course, he was cast out of heaven. And he was then cast down onto earth. And in following Lucifer, he goes and enters different people, or in this case, this man, and he wants to have this man be not only proclaimed as one of Lucifer's people, but he wanted to take and destroy everything God had made. And so when Christ comes, this angel or this demon says, I know who you are. Have you come before the time to destroy us? He knew when they were going to be destroyed, and he knows in the end that they will be in eternal hellfire, and that the hell has been made for the devil, his angels, and those who reject Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. So we see this man or this demon speaking through this man, and he's speaking in such a way, and he is letting the people know that Christ is the Son of God. He's letting the people know that he's the Holy One that God has sent into the world, that even before the beginning of time, that salvation was planned, and there was a plan for salvation, that should man fall into sin, there would be a plan in which God would use to bring man back to God, to reconcile us back into salvation and redemption in the Lord Jesus Christ. And now this man with the evil spirit, we could look at Acts, and we see the lady there that was being controlled by some of the people of the town, and she was doing a witchcraft work, and they were making a lot of money on her. And when this woman seen Paul and Silas come into town, she followed them and kept telling them, I know who you are. You have been sent by God, and you have Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. And she kept on, and Paul was being displeased with the way she was acting, turned around and cast that evil demon out of her. And when that evil demon was cast out because of deviation, we find that the people started a riot and tried to kill Paul and Silas. And as we see that deviation, we see too that the evil spirits do not speak the truth necessarily. Yes, they know who God is because they were there. They have been in heaven. They rebelled against God the Father, and they have been cast out. They know who Jesus Christ is. He's part of the triune God, and they know God has sent him into the world to save all of us as sinners, that we can come back to Christ and that we can have peace through him because he has died for our sins and he has rose again that third day and making intercession for each one of us. But we see even more so here that in Hebrews it tells us that we are not to forsake the assembling together, that we can worship Christ and that the Holy Spirit can speak to us maybe even a more dynamic way when we're in church than when we're home alone many times by ourselves, because we're doing it as a group and we're gathering together as Christians and we are worshiping Christ, and we're saying, Lord Jesus, not only me do I want you to help, but I want you to help all the believers in church, that they are fed from your holy word. And being fed, they will not hunger, and they will be, by believing, they will not thirst, but that they will have everlasting life and be able to go out, and people would see you in them and glorify you. And we see that so very, very plainly in so many different ways in which this goes on. And so we see Christ worshiping in the synagogue on the Sabbath, and it was his schedule that he did this every week. Excuse me for taking a drink of water. My throat gets dry. But anyway, we see Christ doing this. And as he does this, he wants us to know that as we rely on Christ and on his work in our lives as Christians, that we would not forsake the gathering together of ourselves, either in church or Bible study, Sunday school, and many different ways where we can even get together as groups of maybe two or three Christians and talk about some of the things that God has blessed us with and some of the things that we have to do in his will. And then it tells us in Romans 13:11, it says, and do this knowing that the time that is now high time, that we wake out of sleep, because our redemption draws much nearer than when we first believed. And this is true. Each day that we're alive, we are one day closer to eternity. And we know that as we get closer and closer to eternity, one day God will call each one of us out of this world. And as he calls us out of this world, we will see that we will be in his presence because we have him as our personal Lord and Savior. And then we see, too, that these spirits could not speak because Christ has said, God has given me all authority in heaven and on earth, that what I tell you, you have to obey and you have to do. And so this is the demons would realize this. And he didn't want the demons speaking because they could not tell the full truth of how Christ was a son of God. They would make deviations, or they would maybe make guesses of some of the things that's coming along. And yet, as we read Scripture, we see that the end times are coming. And as these end times come, it tells us perilous times will come upon the world. And we're seeing more and more of them, even in the United States, as well as throughout the world. And we say, well, we aren't too concerned about them. We should be, because we know these are signs of the time, and if we awake out of sleep, we will see that Christ is even nearer and even close to the door, where he may call us out individually or as a rapture. And if he does that, are you ready to go? Are you ready to come and meet Jesus Christ on his terms, not ours, because we have been sinful from the beginning? And because of Adam and Eve, we are sinful by nature. And we have a lot of people that may claim otherwise, but it is true, and Scripture is true through and through. It says that God created the heavens and the earth in 6 days, and it says that God created Adam, and he put Adam to sleep, and he created woman out of Adam, and Eve was deceived, and Adam sinned willfully and brought sin upon the whole human race. It was what Adam had done on his own choice, and that was to not follow God and to do what he felt his wife wanted him to do, or he did himself. And so we see, too, that as Jesus prayed much, he went up into a mountain to pray. And when he prayed all night before he chose his 12 disciples, and yet when he chose his 12 disciples, he says, is not even one of you a devil, one that is not going to follow me? And he knew what Judas Iscariot was going to do. And yet he chose him so that the will of God would be fulfilled in the time that it was supposed to be fulfilled. And we see this so very, very plainly too. And that Jesus prayed all night so that God the Father would help him choose the ones he wanted to choose for his disciples. And we see that so very, very plainly too. And then so as we see that Christ not only prayed many times, and as he healed, he worked hard in healing these people, and he went out and he prayed and had communications with God the Father. And together they had many communications, and it says in different places that the angels came down and ministered unto Christ that he would be given the words in which to speak and in the ways in which to act. Jesus has told us do not judge that you be not judged. And yet he goes on a little further and he says, when you judge someone, do it righteously. Do it in the sight of God and do it in the way God would do it, not in appearance only, but how is that person acting and what are they doing? Are they taking, and does it appear that they're wrong, or is it that they are openly wrong in righteousness? They are denying Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. If they are doing that, we do have the right to judge these people righteously, it tells us in Scripture. And that as we judge these people righteously, we do it with the help of the Holy Spirit. We don't go out and say, you must do this or that. We must realize that Christ has to have first place in each one of our hearts and our lives. And as he has that first place, we will give him the authority to control our lives and to bless us in such a way that we are his servants and that we are used day by day in showing his glory and his praise to those round about us. And as we see all of this, we see too that in Luke 5:16, Jesus said, so he himself often withdrew into the wilderness and prayed. And as he prayed, and as he told the demons to be quiet, because they couldn't do and speak the words that God wanted them to speak. So they are to remain silent because they did not understand the salvation story. And it tells us that the angels in heaven have been watching what's going on in heaven and on earth to see how God will reconcile the world back to him and how God will take and work amongst those that have accepted Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, and that he will work amongst those people. We see throughout the world many people that are dying for their faith, and we see many others that are being killed, even if they aren't Christians, but because they don't go along with the people that are killing them. And yet we know, even in the United States, that it is coming more and more upon us, and we have barely seen anything in the United States, I feel, in which we have had to do much suffering for. It is coming, and it will come more and more upon us, and we're going to see more and more of it. And we see more and more where the schools and many different places has no time for church or very little time for church, and all of their activities are sponsored in no regard of serving Christ and no regard of serving the Lord Jesus Christ. And we see those that are standing up for Christ are taking and having to stand more and more firmly to make people realize that Christ is first in each one of their lives. And we would have to ask, is he first in my life or is he first in your life? That as you go forward from not only this church service, but wherever you are, that people know Christ is first in your life. Are you willing to stand up and be ridiculed? The other day, I received a testament in an envelope back with no note. And it's one that you guys got them back here. Well, you got them, I think, some years ago for Halloween's time. And I've given a bunch of them away. And I've given them out and different people. Now, I don't know who sent it back to me. They sent it. My name's not in there. Rosa Free Lutheran Church is in there. But it didn't come to the church here. It came to my address in Thief River Falls. And it came, no note, no nothing. But it was a testament that had been given out someplace along the line. And what does it tell me? Some people might say, maybe they found it. They could have. I'm not going to question any of that. But to me, because there's no note and no acknowledgement of who sent it, I feel that whoever sent it back is telling me that we want nothing to do with the Bible or with Christ. That's how serious it is getting. And why did it be sent to my address in Thief River? Evidently, they know where I am working or that I'm pastor up here. And you got your address in the book, and it didn't come back here. It came there. And it was printed out, no return address, no nothing. That person that sent it or had it sent to me is saying, I want nothing to do with Christ. Those are the kind of people we must pray for, that God will move in such a mighty way that the Spirit will convict them beyond measure and make them realize that unless they have Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, they're going to be lost. And they will never know heaven. They will remember heaven in eternity, but they will never know it. And it makes a person sad to think of who could have done that. How can you take the Word of God and trample it underfoot and take and say, I'm a Christian, or I am doing okay, I am living a good life, and everything evolves around the I, when we should be evolving around Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, and asking Him to lead us and guide us and help us to live in such a way that He would not only be seen in us, but that people would see Him in us and glorify Him. You know, these things are hard to understand. It's hard to understand how people will think and they'll say, I've done this and I have done that. And yet all of the I's don't count for anything if we don't have Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, because He is the one that keeps us. He is the one that helps us. He's the one that gives us mercy every day. The sun shines on the just and on the unjust, and the rain comes down on the just and on the unjust. And God has blessed all of us with good homes, good jobs, many good things. And yet, how many of us will take time and say, thank you, Lord, for all the blessings you have given us and that you have bestowed upon us, and that we forget to pray the way we should. You know, it's a wonder sometimes of how God has had such mercy on us that He has He has given us extra grace that we can live for Him day by day. Many of us have gone through sicknesses and illnesses, and yet God has blessed us. And He has blessed us beyond measure. And He wants us to call upon Him, and that He will give us this grace, and that we can say, Lord God, I want you to use me in such a way that other people will see you in me and glorify you, because you are the one that has given me the peace. You have given me the food. You have given me that living water. And then you have helped me live day by day in your peace, regardless of how the world is going around, we find that prayer is the beginning of communication with God. We find that prayer in communication with God, we get to know God better. We know that God wants us to know Him and to feel free to come to Him. And He has given us that we can come boldly to the throne of grace, and that we can boldly come and seek His will in our lives. And this is what we have done. Prayer gives us God's grace and His mercy. It gives us that peace which passes all understanding. And it gives us that we know that when we have problems within our lives or problems in situations that may arise during the day, that we can come to Him and say, Lord Jesus, I can't handle this. Help me. And He will be there to help us, to bless us, and to give us that peace and love and understanding that only He can give. That we acknowledge God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, because God the Father is the one that made the universe and everything in it. God the Son came down and reconciled us back to God the Father in the sense that we can have salvation and that we can have redemption and justification in through what Christ did on the cross of Calvary. And God the Holy Spirit is teaching us the truth, it tells us in John, that we would be knowing the truth that God has given to us each day. We would then be willing to stand up for Him regardless of the cost and regardless of what people might say, that I want Jesus Christ to be my Lord and my Savior, and if I am walking the path that I shouldn't be walking, help me to get off of that and get on the path that leads to eternal life, because this is the one that would give us eternal life in eternity, because it's forever, and we could have our blessings with God as our Father and living in that New Jerusalem at that time. Heavenly Father, I pray that You would be with each one of us today. Help us, O Lord, that as we serve You, that we realize the many gifts You have given us. And Lord, that You want us to not only know You better, but to accept You as our personal Lord and Savior, our leader, our guide, our Redeemer, Lord Jesus, that people would see You in us and glorify You. In Jesus' name, amen.